is The Guardian.
Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with a full story.
The Iranian conflict in the Middle East began just over a week ago.
On Tuesday morning, the Prime Minister announced Australia is sending aircraft, missiles and personnel to the Gulf as war rages in the region.
We're taking defensive action to support our partners' efforts to keep Australians safe. Deployed ADF assets will operate according to the right of collective self-defence.
But Anthony Albanese says it doesn't mean we're involved.
Our position remains that we do not want to see the conflict continue to escalate, and we call on all parties to uphold international humanitarian law and to protect civilian life.
It's left some asking questions about whether the Prime Minister is splitting hairs around defensive and offensive action and whether this could just be the start. Today, political reporter and Chief of Staff Josh Butler, just hours after the announcement, on whether Australia is at risk of being entangled in Trump's war on Iran. It's Wednesday, the 11th of March.
Now streaming on SBS On Demand, The Hospital in the Deep End. Our hospitals are under pressure like never before.
Oh my God.
And when the system buckles, we all pay the price.
That's not good.
In this landmark series, three notable Australians step onto the front line to see what it really takes to save a life.
I honestly didn't think it was like that.
The Hospital in the Deep End. Stream now on SBS On Demand.
Hi, Josh. It's good to see you this morning. There's so much happening today in the news.
Yeah, hi.
Just take us through exactly what the Prime Minister has committed to sending to the Gulf.
Yeah, so announced this morning, Australia is sending what's called an E-7A Wedgetail, which is a surveillance and reconnaissance plane, which the government has said would help secure the airspace above the Gulf. The Defence Minister, Richard Miles, said that there would be around 85 Australian Defence Force personnel. I imagine some of those will be working on the plane. They're probably not all on the plane at the same time, but they'd probably be people that will go across and be stationed in a command centre or something like that along with the plane. The Wedgetail and the supporting personnel will be deployed for an initial 4 weeks at this stage. They're saying an initial 4 weeks, so it could be longer, it could be shorter, but they've put them there for 4 weeks at this stage. Additionally to that, the government is providing the acronym that defence people use is AMRAAM, which is Advanced Medium Range Air-to-Air Missiles, to the UAE for them to use.
How much detail did the Prime Minister give about exactly what the personnel will be doing, how the surveillance aircraft will be used? Did he go into any of that?
Yeah, look, not a whole lot of detail at this point. And I imagine this is all very new, right? We're talking a couple of hours after this announcement was made. I would imagine that we get more on this as the day goes on, as the week goes on. Essentially, Richard Miles, the Defence Minister, had said that they'll be in the region by the middle of the week. They'll be operational by the end of the week, is what he said. So this aircraft has redeployed from Europe, is what we're hearing. But essentially what the Australian personnel, the Australian assistance will be doing in the UAE, the government has sort of characterised it as assisting in the defence of Australians who are over there in that part of the world. There's, according to government statistics, around 24,000 Australians in the UAE and 115,000 Australians in the Middle East. The Prime Minister, the Defence Minister this morning, saying things like this is in support of the collective self-defence of the Gulf nations. It's helping protect and defend Australians in that region. So these things are moving very quickly, obviously.
We're going to talk more about this debate over whether we've joined some sort of war effort or not. But before we do, if we can establish a couple more facts around whether the UAE requested this sort of assistance. There were calls, I know, with the president, and the same with Donald Trump. There was a call with Donald Trump as well. Mm. How much is this Australia offering and how much is it the UAE or the US asking?
Yeah, so we do know, and it seems to be more that it was a request from the UAE. We do know that there was a conversation between Prime Minister Albanese and the UAE's leader Tuesday last week. There was a phone call. We knew the leaders had spoken, but there wasn't anything told to us then about any requests being made. Just before I join you here, we've been told that there was a request in writing from the UAE, and the Prime Minister and the Defence Minister sort of characterised the missiles at least as coming in response to a request from the UAE. There was a question at the press conference this morning why a country like the UAE, which is a very wealthy country, obviously, why they would need to ask anyone, let alone Australia, very far away, for assistance in this matter it's an interesting question. But I think this has probably been in the works for a couple of days.
There's so much that's going to be picked apart in terms of the decision making there. One of the roles being reported is securing of the airspace. Did the Prime Minister have anything to say about whether Australian personnel or hardware might be put into a position of coming into contact with Iranian fire? Now, I'm asking you to crystal ball gaze a little bit, but, you know, Iran is still firing rockets over there.
That is something that we haven't heard about yet. I don't believe the Prime Minister has I'm sort of scanning my brain over that long press conference. I don't believe that was mentioned or asked about. I'm reading here from the government press release this morning. The government has been clear we are not taking offensive action against Iran, and we have been clear we are not deploying Australian troops on the ground in Iran. The first priority of the Albanese government is to keep Australians safe. Obviously, there's been complaints from the Trump administration that some of its allies, like the UK, are not or haven't been providing assistance of the type that Trump has asked for. But as far as we're told this morning, that the phone call that was between President Trump and Prime Minister Albanese focused mostly on the Iranian women's football team. The Prime Minister was pretty reluctant to say anything more about his call with President Trump.
He was very tight-lipped. Yes.
We didn't hear a whole lot there, but he did sort of concede that, we talked about world events, and you know, that would include Iran.
Josh, this discussion around whether we've joined the war or not, this debate around if it's offensive or defensive, is there a difference? What's been the general reaction around that? I know the Greens, for example, are really concerned about this.
Yeah, the Greens very quick out of the gate, as you would imagine, saying that they don't support this move. Larissa Waters, the federal Greens leader, saying that, quote here, the government should listen to the overwhelming majority of Australians who do not want to be dragged into Trump and Netanyahu, as in the Israeli leader Netanyahu's latest forever war. She's saying the government's assertion that personnel and equipment would be used for defence only is a fig leaf. She's concerned that Australian personnel will have their lives put at risk. As we're talking now, we're still waiting, I think, for a substantial response from the coalition. But Dan Tehan, who's the Shadow Energy Minister, he spoke a little while ago conceding that Australians probably are participants in this war now. And I do want to add one thing. Yesterday, Tony Abbott, the former Liberal Prime Minister, obviously out of the Parliament now, but still influential in Liberal circles, especially sort of the Conservative kind of circle. He's close with Angus Taylor, the new Liberal leader. He was critical yesterday in a Substack blog, which apparently this is how we do things in politics these days, through Substack blogs, critical that Australia hadn't either been approached to help out more by the US or hadn't proactively volunteered to sort of help out with things like this surveillance and backups sort of assistance as well. So I think that might be instructive as to what we hear from the Liberals.
And puts the Prime Minister under pressure as well. I just want to reflect a bit more on what Dan Tehan was saying, because he is supportive of Australia's action, but he's very much saying, by the nature of the action, we are participants. That's the crux of the issue here, that defensive involvement is seen by some as still involvement, whether you support it or not.
Yeah, I think that is a fair point. So Don Rothwell, the Australian National University international law expert professor, he told some of our colleagues a couple of days ago, so to be clear, this was before this announcement was made on Tuesday morning. Don Rothwell spoke to us and claimed on Monday that this meant Australia would legally become part of the international armed conflict. And he's saying that applies irrespective of a distinction Australia may make between engaging in offensive conduct and defensive conduct. So he contrasted this with Ukraine. He's saying contrast this with Ukraine, where Australia provided military aid like Bushmasters and Abrams tanks for Ukraine to use, but we never committed military personnel. So this aircraft, this Wedgetail, was part of, as I understand it, part of Australia's assistance to Ukraine, but it was based in Poland, not actually in Ukraine. Whereas here, we're sending this to the UAE, which has come under direct military bombardments by Iran.
We'll be right back. Josh, I want to just finally turn to some of the politics around this. First of all, we saw that debate around Australian sailors being on board the US sub that sank the Iranian warship. Do you think that this latest deployment is going to be viewed against that? Will it kind of add weight to this argument that we're getting sucked in, whether we like it or not, to this Middle East conflict?
I think so. I think the government will keep trying to make this distinction. But obviously, when this conflict erupted the other weekend, government ministers asked, you know, what do you think of the legality of this international law, concerns and so forth? And all their answers were, Australia's not a party to this. It's the US and Israel doing this. We're not part of it. It's questions for them. But as you say, last week we learned three Australians were on board a US crewed submarine that sank an Iranian warship off the coast of Sri Lanka. That was, you know, belatedly kind of conceded by the government. Now we know that there are Australians being deployed to a zone that has come under military threat from Iran. This, I think, is sort of the part of the creeping sort of thing that David Shoebridge, the Greens defence spokesperson, said a couple of days ago.
The mission creep.
Yeah, he was saying that this is signing us up to another US war by deception and stealth.
That point of mission creep really takes me to how the public might view this. Do we have any sense of how it's being viewed? Because people still remember the issues over the Iraq war.
I'll be very interested to see opinion polling on this amongst Australians because, you know, I think even in the US, this war is not very popular. You think of, you know, Trump came to power promising, you know, an end to the forever wars, an end to getting American troops embroiled in endless kind of overseas conflicts, especially in the Middle East, especially in Iran. And I think even in a country like America, if there is sort of opposition or reluctance to this sort of conflict, I think Australians probably would be even more so concerned about this. People have memories about Iraq and Iraq too, and about Afghanistan and all these other conflicts that we've been involved in at the behest of the US. And I think the fact that Trump himself is still relatively unpopular in Australia, I'm not sure. I'll be very interested to see how Australians would react to the idea of further military sort of entanglement of ADF troops or resources or, you know, Australia just being involved in this with Donald Trump in Iran.
That just brings me to my last question here in terms of what Anthony Albanese might be weighing up, do you think, when it comes from that public view of what he's doing versus Australia's relationship to the US and to other countries. Where is the issue here for him as this goes on?
Look, I think that is the question. Domestically, we haven't heard a lot, I think actually very little, almost nothing from the Labor caucus, the Labor Party room. And this kind of goes to a broader sort of issue in Australian politics at the moment in that Labor has this big thumping majority in the parliament, in the lower house, and, you know, got a pretty good run in the Senate as well. And there's not a lot of dissent or not a lot of sort of feedback that we're hearing from the party room about government decisions, some of which are proving unpopular. We know from people that we talk to, right? As political journalists, we know there's a lot of MPs who are not happy about this sort of stuff, but they're very reluctant, quite cowed to actually say anything about this. So I think we would be very interested to hear from, you know, Labor MPs, people in the Labor tent who are concerned about this and other government decisions. But so often, Labor MPs, other ministers are very, 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 very reluctant to say anything that kind of goes against the party line or to sort of question a decision made by the government, by the cabinet, by the prime minister. Even this morning, just before I joined you, we hear that, you know, Labor discussed this in their party room meeting, which they have every week during Parliament, and there was not a single question, apparently, not a single question from the 94 MPs and 20-something senators about Australia sending a military plane, 85 defence personnel and missiles to the Middle East. Apparently, there was not a single question. There was a bunch of questions about fuel security. There was a bunch of questions about people getting ripped off at the Bowser. But apparently, not a single Labor MP allegedly asked about this. So I find that quite astonishing.
That is astonishing. And I'm sure that will be raked over as well in terms of the implications for the Labor Party. Mm. Look, this is another really consequential day in Canberra. Thank you so much for taking us through it.
No problem, thank you.
By Daniel Simo. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to follow Full Story wherever you get your podcasts, including on Spotify. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.